All right, let's see if you were better than first service here. First service, they didn't know what I'm talking about. So how many of you, lie if you have to, make me feel better about myself, but how many of you, I just talked about sin, and now I'm asking you to lie. How many of you have seen the show, Who Do You Think You Are? Do you know what I'm talking about? Nobody. Wait, two, three, four. That's four times as many as last service. We did really well there. Who Do You Think You Are is a show, it actually started... I think over in Britain on the BBC. And Who Do You Think You Are, it'll take a celebrity and they will trace down their history. Does this sound a little bit more familiar now? They'll trace down their lineage and their family history, and they'll come up with neat stories of, hey, this, you're related to this person who did this. And they just trace down a lot of neat lineage. They find out who they came from, where they came from, just nice historical information about their family line. One of them, I didn't see this, but I saw the results of it. One of them, they actually traced the history or the family history all the way back. This is one from over in Britain. All the way back to Adam and Eve, which I didn't know we had Adam and Eve's DNA on file. But they found it. So I got to think about that. What if we got to do that here? What would we find? You guys know some of your family history, some of you? For me, I think I've shared this here before. For me, probably the most popular or the most famous person in my family line, my family history, was my grandmother's second cousin. My grandmother's second cousin, he grew up the same time I grew up his father passed away at an early age. And so when mom went to work, he was at the age of 10, 9 or 10, he was taking care of his siblings. You know, finding food, cooking for them, and he grew up to be a very successful man, and he's very charitable. When the church he grew up going to, the church I grew up going to, in fact, when it burnt down, he paid to have it rebuilt, and just a very charitable man. He took a small business from the skills he learned from taking care of his siblings, took this small business and turned it into a worldwide brand. Now, my grandmother knew him as just, Cousin Harland. You might recognize the face a little bit better than the name, and we'll put that up on the screen for you. Harland Sanders, Colonel Sanders. You guys know Colonel Sanders. And this first hour, some of you surprised, but some of you look at me and think, I can see that. He comes from fried chicken. Yeah. He comes from a family of fried chicken. I can see it. But I shared that, and then after first service, a lady came up, and she was telling me something from her family history, and I wish I had the whole story here, but I don't, and she's emailing it to me. But her grandfather ran with John Dillinger. Yeah. Never got caught. But then later went back to one of the stores that they had hit and wanted to pay restitution because he became a Christian. I think that's a really neat story from their family history. Regardless of where you come from, who you come from, physically, today, just spiritually, I just want us to take a look at our spiritual ancestry a little bit. Where do we come from? Who do we come from? Who do we belong to? Who do you think you are spiritually? Okay? So what we're going to do is we're going to look in the book of Romans. The Apostle Paul wrote a letter to the Christians that were in Rome, and we call that the book of Romans. And in chapter 8 of the book of Romans, he writes this. He says, therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it's not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you'll die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you'll live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Here in this passage, Paul tells us that we didn't receive the Spirit that makes us a slave again to fear. We'll talk more about that in a minute, but But you receive the spirit of sonship. Paul is telling us here that we have two directions we can go in life. We can choose to live according to our own flesh, what we want, our desires, no regard for what God has to say for our life. We can live according to that flesh, or we can live according to the Spirit of God Himself, submitting ourselves to Him, reliving our lives as a reflection of who Jesus was. Life without the Spirit, or life with the Spirit. I'm gonna give you a couple answers in your sermon notes. That way you don't fall asleep too quick on me. You can stay engaged. In your sermon notes, if you want to pull those out, there's a couple lines you can fill in. Life without the Spirit, according to Paul. Paul, he writes it here in Romans, and the author of Hebrews, we'll get to that in a moment as well. He writes this as well. Life without the Spirit leads to fear. Life without the Spirit leads to fear, but life with the Spirit leads to family. Life without the Spirit is fear. Life with the Spirit is family. So let's look at that a little bit closer. That's what I want to do this morning. And we said life without the Spirit leads to fear. Romans chapter 8, we just read that scripture. He wrote, the Spirit you received as believers, the Spirit you received does not make you slaves. Again, to fear. Fear of what? What are we supposed to be afraid of here? Some of us say, well, I'm not afraid of anything, right? We like to play a game in our house. I like to play a game in our house. And it's called Scare Mom. Who else plays it? I found out after service that several people play this game. I see it, yeah. Several people play this game at home. They scare Mom when they... And so what I'll do is I'll hide behind a door, or, you know, I know she's coming through the hallway, and I'll just be there waiting and then pop out at her, you know, and just to see a look on her face or get smacked in the arm or something, you know. But at one time I knew she was coming to bed for the night. And I thought, I'm just going to wait for her. And she just sat there on her phone or iPad doing an email or Facebook or something for 10 minutes. And I just sat there, oh my gosh, come on, you know. But I waited and I got her, you know. And she says the same thing every time. She pulls out the middle name, Kevin David, you know. One of these days you're going to give me a heart attack, which would totally ruin the game. But I do it. But I do it to see the look on her face and see her heart skip a beat or 30. But well, what's interesting here, when we talk about fear, because, you know, as I say that, Sarah, she says even now, she can't even walk through the house sometimes, not knowing where I am, you know, what's going to happen. But when I talk about fear, the word that we use here for fear, the word that Paul uses for fear, the Greek word that he writes down here, is translated as phobos. It's where we get our English word phobia. It means a terror. It means a dread. It's anticipating some kind of harm coming your way. Okay? Now, there's a couple different words that translates into fear in Scripture. One of them means kind of it's referencing like a reverence for God. A respect, fear of the Lord. That's elsewhere. Right here, we're talking about pure dread, just terror. This anticipation that something bad is going to happen. Okay, it's waiting for the harm. It's Sarah walking down the hallway, just looking around. That's the fear that he's talking about here. Something is bad. Something bad is going to happen here. He says. When he writes, the Spirit you receive does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Something else to look at here as we get going is the word slave and the word again. You know, what's he talking about? You know, Paul is telling us that we lived as slaves to this fear. We did. But as believers, we no longer have to live as slaves to fear. But again, I ask, fear of what? What are we supposed to be afraid of here? What's so terrifying? What do we dread? What's lurking around the corner that's going to harm us that he's talking about here? Well, if we look in Hebrews chapter 2, the author of Hebrews, we don't know who wrote it exactly. We think some people maybe Paul, some people, somebody close to Paul. We don't really know, but he says here in verse 14, he says, since the children, meaning the children of God, meaning us, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, Jesus. So that by his death, he might break the power of him who holds the power of death. That is, the devil. We just sang about that. That the darkness trembles. And he would free those who all their lives were held by slavery by their fear of what? Of death. Free those who all their lives were held by slavery by their fear of death. The author here is telling us that Jesus became flesh and blood, just like us. And he was subjected to the same limitations and weaknesses and frailties of a human body, although he did still remain 100% God. Jesus became one of us in order to die for us. And the reason why, it says it right there, to break the power of him who holds the power of death. So that we could be free from the slavery of our fear of death. Just like Paul wrote to the Romans, Hebrews author is writing it here. We all lived in this as slaves to this fear of death. And right here we discover what the fear is. It's this fear of death. If we're honest, who's afraid of death? We're in church and we think, well, I can't raise my hand because heaven's a great idea and we want to be in heaven. But if we're honest, we're a little afraid of dying too. We're all afraid of death. Although, death isn't the number one fear. Did you know that? Jerry Seinfeld talked about this in one of his comedy routines. Do you guys know what the number one fear is? Public speaking. He said there was a study done that they found that the number one fear among people who was part of the study was public speaking. Number two was death, which meant that if you were going to a funeral, you'd rather be in the casket than giving the eulogy, is what he said, right? But we're all afraid of death. It's up there, just maybe not number one. Romans tells us this, Hebrew tells us this, that we were all slaves to this fear of death. Does that mean a physical death? Yeah, I think so. But I think there's more to it here as well. I want you to write this in your sermon notes. That death in the Bible, when we read the word death a lot, it's not just speaking of annihilation. It's not just speaking of mortal death. It's not speaking of annihilation, it's speaking of separation. To be dead is to be separated from that source of life. To be spiritually dead means that you are separated from that giver of life. You're separated from God. And if you're living separated from God, you start to put things in there to substitute as God, and you begin, that's your focus. That's what you don't want to be separated from that. You don't want to be separated from your source of life that you replace for God. So we're reading here that all of us, we live or we did live in this fear of being separated from our source of life. And we live in this terror, we live in this dread, this possibility that harm is coming, that we're going to be separated from this source of life. Let's say I make, or you make your job your source of life. Then everything you do revolves around that job, right? Success at work gives us pride, it gives us our worth, it gives us value. And we'll do anything we can. The decisions we make revolve around making sure we're not separated from that source of life. Making sure that everything we do revolves around the fear of losing that source of life, losing that job. My life is going to be consumed by the fear of losing my job because that's my source of life. That's kind of what we're talking about here. I'll be a slave to fear of death. Of losing that source of life. And we don't want that. But the truth is, it's not just our job. It's not just our job we're talking about. Because all of us have been separated from God. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So now let's do I just read the verse. How many in here are sinners? Those who didn't raise your hand, you're a sinner now because you just lied. Okay? We're all sinners. We're all sinners. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. We've all created this separation between us and God. And the damage has been done. And really, we create the separation on a daily basis, if we're honest. Every day, we're creating the separation because we choose to live by our flesh. We choose to live by our own desires, what we want for ourselves. We choose to make those decisions, which chooses that separation. Paul also wrote in the same letter, he says, we've all sinned, right? He says in chapter 6 of Romans, he wrote, the wages of sin, what we get because of our sin, the wages of sin is death. So yeah, we're slaves of fear to this death, this separation from God. If you haven't done it already, if you haven't been filling out your outline, that's fine, but I want you to grab a pencil or something right now and look at this little illustration, this little picture on your sermon notes. This is the separation that now exists because of our sin, and we all are on that left side. We are all separated from God with no way to get across. There is a separation because of our sin, and we cannot do anything about it ourselves. We created that separation by our choice of sin. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We may try. We may say, but I go to church maybe every Sunday, maybe once a month, twice a month. Maybe I serve in the nursery. I do children's ministry. I'm going to be doing VBS. Man, that gives me some points right there every night. I'm at VBS for a couple hours with kids. Give me some credit, right? Or you might say, I go to small group. I'm in small group. Or you might say, I read every day. I read my Bible every day. I pray every day. That makes me good, doesn't it? Well, it's a start, but it doesn't close the gap. Because you're still a sinner. We still sin. We still create this separation on a daily basis. That still falls short of the glory of God because there's nothing you can do about this. I'm glad you came to church today, didn't you? Went to church today, Kevin told me I have no hope. Well, I didn't say you didn't have any hope. I said there's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing that you can do about it. Remember that verse I just shared with you with the wages of sin is death. It's separation. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. That's actually just half the verse. That's just half the verse. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Look back at Romans 8 with me again. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. You didn't do anything about it, but you were adopted. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. So, who do you think you are? Well, I want to tell you who you are. If you've accepted Jesus, you're no longer a slave to that fear like we just talked about. It says right here that you've been adopted into God's family by God Himself, and you're a child of God. You've been adopted into His family. The life without the Spirit led to fear, but life with the Spirit leads to family. Let's turn over to another letter that Paul wrote. This time he wrote a letter to the Christians in Galatia, Galatians chapter 4. He writes these words. He says, "But when the right time came, God sent His Son. Born of a woman, subject to the law, God sent Him, Jesus, to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that He could adopt us as His very own children. And because we are His children, God has sent the Spirit of His Son, Jesus, into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. And now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. Go back to your notes again. Look at that picture again. You see, there's nothing that you really can do. You've created the separation. You've tried by your good deeds, by your VBS volunteerism, which Matt is still seeking volunteers, I think, so talk to him after church. By going to small group, you've tried, but there's nothing that you can do. But when the right time came, God sent his son to buy our freedom so that we wouldn't have to be slaves to this fear, slaves to this separation from God. He sent his son to buy our freedom. And how did he do that? On the cross. And so where there was no way, Jesus created a bridge. He created a way for us to close that gap, for us to go from separation from God into Abba, Father. He's adopted us as his very own children. Now, I said Abba, not Abba, so don't get the Dancing Queen out of your head there, you know, Mamma Mia. But not the 70s band. Abba is an Aramaic term. It means father. But it's used in a very intimate setting. It's the first words really out of a young child's mouth. It's Abba, Abba. It's Dada. It's Daddy. And so when we approach God, we approach him with this freedom to say, Daddy. He's our father. He's our dad. He is our Abba. Now, what's that say to us? You know, I know that not everybody in this room has a great relationship with their father, right? You didn't grow up having a great view of your father. I understand that. I didn't know my father until I was 30 years old. I kind of get that. I can't really look at God and say, oh, that's just like a dad, right? Some of you have that same struggle. So let me try to paint this the best way I can do so. You know, when I come home, whether it's been just a day separated from my kids or maybe a week, and I come in the house, right? Isaiah's looking at me. I come in the house. I come up the stairs. What do they say? Father, can I greet thy hand with a shake and kiss thy, you know? No, they don't greet me with anything formal. Daddy. Right? And they went and pick him up. Lawton maybe not want me to pick him up. He wants to keep his Minecraft going or whatever he's doing. Or he's focused on Netflix. But the other kid's, Daddy! And I get to pick him up. And that's the kind of the picture that Paul is writing here. He's saying, when you approach God, it's no, you know, Father. It's not, you know, this formal setting that you have to enter. I was talking to a guy after church. He said, you know, I always kind of looked at God like kind of the Wizard of Oz. It's kind of untouchable. But when you use that phrase, Abba, that's dad. That's daddy. That's what Paul's saying here. Paul's saying that because we are his children, because he has adopted us as sons and daughters, we are children of God, and it's prompting us to call out, Abba, Father, Daddy. Because life with the Spirit equals family. Going back to that illustration again on the screen, this morning you need to take a look at this. And you need to see, where are you? Who do you think you are? Where are you? Have you accepted the bridge? Have you walked across the bridge? Have you accepted that free gift? Because the wages of sin is death, right? But the free gift of God is eternal life. Some of you would say, yeah, I've done that, and that's fantastic, that's great. So what you need to do this morning is just thank God that he created the bridge, right? Thank God that he created a way where there once was no way. And then you need to, you know, ask Abba, ask God, show me those who don't know the way. How can I help those who don't know the way? And if you look at this and you say, you know, I think I'm still pretty separated. It's not too late for that. We're celebrating Memorial Day. We honor the sacrifice of so many. But let's not forget the sacrifice of Jesus, who went to the cross and prepared a way for us to enter into God's presence, not with a formal Father, greetings, whatever you want to say there, but just with the Abba, Daddy. He has created a way for us to enter in the presence of God himself. So if you look at that separation, you say, I'm still kind of separated, but I want to come across. We're going to sing a song here in just a moment. Jeff was kind of playing it a minute ago on his guitar. But the words of it say, I'm no longer a slave to fear, but I am a child of God. As we sing that, and you say, I'm still separated, I want to cross that bridge, we just invite you to come up, or you don't want to come up in front of everybody, that's fine. Just seek us out afterwards. Find somebody you came with, someone you know. Let us help you take that next step. Okay? Because we don't want to leave this room still separated. We want to make sure that we get to enter into the presence of God. Enter into the presence of Abba. Let's pray. God, where there was no way, God, you created a way. Through Jesus, through the blood, through the sacrifice of him on the cross. So that we are no longer slaves to this fear of being separated, this fear of being spiritually dead, this fear of eternal separation from our Creator. But God, you created a path to close the separation so that we could enter into your presence. And God, we're so thankful for that. This morning, God, I ask that if there's anyone here that doesn't know you, that doesn't know you as Abba, God, that they would just seek you out, whether it be through coming forward, talking to one of us up here, finding someone they came with, or just seeking us out after. God, that you would just put it on their hearts, that you would send them that spirit so that they are no longer slaves to fear. Because, God, you want them as your son. You want them as your daughter as well. We pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen.